Betrayed, yet bound to the billionaire by Grace Madeline. Chapter 51. The internet exploded in an instant, with some even calling the insurance company to ask for information. Sophia had no idea about any of this, but when she saw the cameraman following behind her, she felt a wave of desperation rising within her. It's over. Once this airs, even if they don't have any solid evidence, my reputation will be ruined, she wondered. Sophia glared at the insurance company employees, wishing she could just take them out right then and there. Did you make a false report? The officer stepped forward, looking at Sophia with a stern expression. Atlas stepped up to stand in front of her, ready to speak, but then he saw the officer pull out handcuffs. Sophia instinctively stepped back, her voice trembling as she whispered, "It wasn't me. It must have been someone who used my phone to make the call. I wasn't the one who called. I don't know anything about any accident insurance." Sophia immediately tried to distance herself from the situation. Seeing her reaction, Atlas gritted his teeth and whispered, "The deceased was a background worker from my company, the Bennett Group. The Bennett Group has always provided insurance for its employees. I was the one who made the call." Sophia's eyes filled with tears as she lowered her head. The officer gave a cold smirk, handing over a video clip. "This is footage from the live stream. The person who made the call was her. What's the matter? Are you trying to fool the police too?" Sophia froze, staring at the screen. She saw herself making the call, the footage clearly broadcast. Her body trembled slightly. "At the time, the cameraman wasn't with me, and the live stream wasn't even on. How could it have aired?" Sophia was on the edge of a breakdown. She had thought that if the cameraman wasn't around, no one would know. What she didn't realize was that the entire island was covered with hidden cameras, and everything had been broadcast. Sophia's image had already crumbled, and her public persona was gone. "What are you all standing around for? Why aren't you going down?" Odalise's voice rang out, sounding confused. Sophia felt a chill run through her. She couldn't believe it. When she turned around, she saw Odalise approaching, dressed in high-waisted black pants and a white shirt, walking casually toward her. Sophia staggered backward in shock, unable to believe her eyes. "Why you? I thought you were dead. Did you want me dead?" Odalise asked, her tone a mix of amusement and mockery. "You bought me a hefty accident insurance policy? But I haven't heard that the Bennett Group buys such insurance for employees. And I've never heard of this policy either. Ms. Bennett, are you in such a hurry to make an insurance claim because you invited me to the beach last night and tried to push me into the water?" Odalise asked with Arsley smile. Sophia recoiled in horror, stumbling backward. She turned to flee but was stopped by the police. "Please come with us to the station to give your statements." "Thank you." The officer politely, but firmly, ushered everyone into the car. After they gave their statements at the police station, Lucian was immediately detained. The footage from the night before, clearly showing Lucian sprinkling powder on Sophia at the beach and then shoving her into the water, had been captured and broadcast. Lucian stood there stunned, unable to comprehend. How could they be streaming at that time? "No, officer, this has nothing to do with me." He was panicking, his words spilling out in a rush when he saw Sila walking over. "Officer, Lucian was the one who contacted me. He used his influence to pressure me into getting Odalise to meet up with him. He was planning to take advantage of her. I did set up the meeting, but when I realized something wasn't right, I got worried about Odalise. I stopped her halfway," Sila said, her voice quivering as her eyes reddened. It had almost been too late. Sila had nearly caused Odalise's death. The cameraman, excited by the developments, continued to follow behind, granted permission to keep the live stream going at the police station. The viewership was off the charts. Now, every trending topic was about the events from the variety show. Though it had only been live-streamed for 2 days, it had already become the king of variety shows. "What nonsense are you talking about?" Lucian snapped, his voice rising in frustration. He hadn't expected to be betrayed by Sila at such a critical moment. He had thought he could manipulate her, which was why he had been so bold. "T.M. not lying. To keep evidence, he asked to meet, and everything he said was recorded." "Erase the audio," Sila said as she willingly handed over the recording. Sila hesitated for a moment before continuing. "Officer, I suspect this isn't the first time he's done something like this." The officer took the recording, nodding slightly. "Well, continue the investigation." "Sila, you bitch, how dare you betray me?" Lucian exploded, jumping up in anger, but the officer quickly restrained him. Lucian, desperate, looked around, hoping to find Sophia, but both she and Atlas were nowhere to be seen. Panicked, he shouted, "Officer, I need to see Sophia." But the officer simply cuffed him and began to lead him away. "Odalise didn't die, did she? We were just playing a game last night. You have no right to arrest me." Lucian struggled as he was dragged out after giving their statements. Freya and Stellan quickly made their way over. "Odalise, you're amazing. You knew they'd try to expose everything today, so after you disappeared last night, you didn't show up again. You were on the boat before anyone else this morning," Freya said, keeping her voice low. "I didn't expect them to try to harm you, but you're fine." "Looks like Sophia didn't actually commit a crime," Freya whispered. Odalise smirked, running her hand through Freya's hair. "Even if something had happened to me, the Bennett family would have covered for her. Besides, I didn't plan to deal with her right now," Odalise replied coldly. Before her time travel, Odalise had been suppressed to the point of depression, ultimately driven to suicide by their actions. All of this had been orchestrated behind the scenes by Sophia, and Odalise would get her revenge. She would slowly torment Sophia, making her wish for death but unable to escape it. If Odalise sent Sophia straight to jail now, it would be too easy on her. Since Sophia cares so much about her reputation, it'll destroy her good name completely, Odalise thought. "Odalise, I'm sorry," Sila said, standing there awkwardly. After Sla confessed to Odalise the night before, Odalise had still gone through with the plan. She had pretended to fall into the sun, and when Lucy arfoofed, she had swum back to shore. Freya and Stellan had arrived soon after, and they had all discussed the plan. They decided to fool the others. In the morning, they had kept Group A waiting while Odalise boarded the boat first, creating the illusion that she was truly dead. That was why Sophia called the insurance company. "What are you apologizing for? Right now, the most important thing is to grab a bite to eat and then head back. We're all bark anyway," Odalise said softly. Stellan quickly raised his hand. "I know a place with great spaghetti. Let's go." Freya agreed, also eager to head out. Sila never imagined that one day she would be having dinner with the famous stars Stellan and Freya. After Odalise forgave Sila, the four of them quickly ordered a car and went to eat spaghetti. Once they left the police station, the live streaming stopped. The viewers, anxious for more updates, were left on edge, but unfortunately, the cameraman had finished for the day. Chapter 52. Oh my God, was it Sophia who seduced Lucian and had him threaten Sila to get her to meet Odalise in the middle of the night and try to kill her by the sea? That's terrifying. I thought something was off with the live stream last night, but I thought it was part of a game. I never imagined it was real. Where are the fans of Group A members now? The police have shown up, and yet they're silent? They love causing a stir, don't they? Come on, and say something. Odalise is really smart. It seems like she's got everything under control. I really like her. I hope she opens an account. I want to be one of her first fars. Am I the only one who thinks the members of Group B are really chill? They just wrapped up what they had to do and then went out to eat, like regular people. They're total foodies. I need to visit the Bennett Group. I want to ask if they give every employee this kind of insurance. Anyone want to join me? Let's go together. The netizens were being reckless, directly heading to the entrance of Bennett Entertainment. For several days, no celebrity from Bennett Entertainment dared to come out or go in. Many collaborations that had been arranged were cancelled. The competition was watching the Bennett family's downfall, and some of them were even taking advantage of the situation. At the spaghetti restaurant, the four of them finished their meal and started scrolling through their phones. Sheila stared at the screen in shock, unable to believe what she was seeing. Wait. Everything except for when we went to the restroom, took a shower, or slept, has been streamed. I didn't expect hidden cameras, Freya whispered. This kind of reality show recording method was a first for her. Stellan scrolled through his phone and then sighed. The Bennett Group is going to have a really hard time bouncing back from this, Odalise, come on and tell us. What's your relationship with Sophia and Atlas? Freya asked, clearly curious. It was obvious that the two of them weren't just targeting Odalise out of simple hatred. Odalise took a sip of her juice, smiling as she made eye contact with them. I'm the real daughter of the Bennett family by blood. Atlas is my third brother. After they abandoned me, they adopted Sophia. She probably feared I'd take away the love and resources that were meant for her, Odalise said candidly. The revelation was explosive, and everyone held their breath in disbelief. What? They did all of this just for that, bitch. They even book you a huge accidental death insurance policy? Was everything that happened last night part of a scheme? Freya said, then quickly took a sip of water to calm herself. Exactly. If I die, they get a payout of $70 million. What do you think? Odalise said with a quiet laugh, standing up. Odalise turned to head to the counter to pay but saw that Stellan had already taken care of the bill. She waved her hand in resignation. I need to go. Well, meet up next time when you're lice. Are you still coming to the variety show in 4 days? Freya asked urgently. After a few days of spending time with Odalise, Freya found herself genuinely liking her. Why wouldn't I? My contract with the Bennett Group expires right after the variety show. I won't break the contract early and pay them compensation. That would be a bad deal. Don't you think? Odalise teased. 66% with a casual wave, Odalise stepped out the door. Freya, Stellan, and Sheila watched her leave, then stood up to follow her. A car sent by the company was waiting outside. Seeing them getting in, Sheila was about to call a cab when Freya suddenly spoke up. Come on. I'll give you a ride back, Freya suddenly said to Sheila. Sheila was about to refuse when Freya continued, if I drive you back, your company people will know you are close to me, they'll be less likely to make things hard for you. Take a look at your contract. If you can, just break it. I know, Sheila said. After learning that Sheila had reported Lucian, it was clear the company would target her. Breaking the contract was her only way out. Sheila thought back to when Odalise had done a divination for her earlier. She whispered, Odalise is really something. When she did the divination, she was hinting that if I helped Lucian, my life would be over. She must have seen it coming. Sheila said, reflecting on the situation. Sheila felt that participating in the variety show was the best decision she'd made. Meeting Odalise was the luckiest thing that had happened to her. Sophia finished giving her statement at the hospital. Though there were hidden cameras on the island, the evidence was still insufficient. She was a suspect, but there was no way to definitively prove that she intended to kill anyone. And with the poison in her system, she fainted and was rushed to the hospital. When Sophia woke up in the hospital, her phone kept vibrating. The constant noise startled her, and she picked up the phone to check the news. To her shock, she found that her name was dominating the trending searches. "Am I really trending?" Sophia said, stunned. Previously, Sophia's phone had been taken by Atlas, and she had no idea what was going on online. When Sophia opened her phone, she saw all her videos being recommended. She quickly opened TikTok and realized that all the ugly sides of her had been revealed. How is this possible? How did everything from last night get broadcasted? Wasn't the production team off work by then? Sophia said, bewildered. She scrolled through the trending topics, and her vision blurred as she passed out. Sophia had never imagined that her dream of becoming famous overnight through the variety show would come true, but not in the way she had expected. Instead of being admired, she was being scorned. Everyone was calling her promiscuous, vicious, and a bitch. Sophia. Caspian burst through the door and saw Sophia unconscious. He rushed over, noticed the trending topics on her phone, and angrily turned to yell at Atlas. "Didn't I tell you to take her phone away? Why did you let her see this?" Atlas, feeling sore all over, didn't expect Caspian to immediately lash out at him. He was stunned, thinking. We're both poisoned. Sophia gets to lie in a hospital bed, but they're interrogating me. We almost fought earlier. This isn't fair. He tried to explain. I couldn't stop her from using her phone. Besides, if she hadn't started trouble and seduced Lucian to trick Odalis, trying to kill her, none of this would have happened. I told her to lay low, but she insisted on causing chaos. Are you blaming me for that? Atlas' frustration, built up over the past few days, exploded at that moment. He trembled with anger, glared at Caspian, and turned to leave. You still have the nerve to walk away? What have you been doing? Now, because of one variety show, Sophia's ruined, and the company's nearly on the brink of bankruptcy, Caspian yelled. What did you just say? Atlas couldn't believe his ears. Caspian threw his phone onto the table, leaned back, and rubbed his temples. Right now, a whole bunch of netizens are waiting outside the company, trashing us. All the deals we had lined up are cancelled. All of the celebrity collaborations under the Bennett Group have been pulled, meaning every celebrity in the Bennett family is now out of a job. Chapter 53. The company's business is being suppressed, and no one dares to collaborate with us anymore. I don't know if it's because of the publicity issues from the variety show or if someone's pulling strings behind the scenes, Caspian said, lowering his voice. In fact, Sophia hadn't fainted. She had been pretending to be unconscious on the bed, and when she heard Caspian's words, she was taken aback. Sophia opened her eyes in disbelief, a look of astonishment flashing in her eyes. Caspian, what are you talking about? Didn't the company sign a bunch of top-tier scripts this year? Isn't my role about to be signed? A bad feeling crept up inside her. She couldn't believe that after fast 3 days away, such a huge problem had arisen. She really couldn't take it in. You. Caspian's lips moved, but he didn't know how to finish his sentence. Just then, Sophia's phone vibrated. She quickly answered it, but the words from the other end left her confused. I'm being kicked out of the production? You're not going to sign me after I had already planned to join the cast after finishing the variety show. I even turned down a lot of activities for this. Hello. Hello. She roared. After being told she had been rejected, Sophia's hands trembled so much that her phone dropped to the ground. Suddenly sprang to her feet, barefoot, and rushed out, heading straight for Hannah's room. When she saw Hannah, lying motionless in bed with her face wrapped like a mummy, she froze. Mom. Sophia gasped in shock upon seeing the woman in the bed. Sophia had heard from Atlas that Hannah's leg had been broken, but seeing it in person, it was worse than she imagined. Sophia screamed. It's Odalis. It has to be her. Mom, she can do divination and predict bad weather. She must be behind. this. Ever since she got married, the Bennett family has been going downhill. It's definitely her trying to ruin us. I'm going to confront her. Why did she want to harm us? Poisoning me and Atlas wasn't enough, and now she almost got us thrown in jail. Sophia's voice cracked as she spoke. Sophia burst into tears. Hannah sat there, heart aching at Sophia's words. Caspian, Atlas, go get Odalis now. Hannah ordered sharply. Hannah pulled Sophia into a hug, but her eyes remained fixed on the iPad in her hands. She had just watched the live streaming from their return trip and learned that Sophia and Alice had almost been sent to jail. Yes, Caspian replied quickly, but when he tried to make a call, he realized he couldn't get through. The group took turns using different phones, but after a long while, they stared at each other in disbelief and said, "Are we blocked?" Before they could say anything else, Henry, looking exhausted, pushed the door open and entered. He threw his car keys onto the coffee table and collapsed onto the sofa. "Henry, what's happening with the company?" Hannah asked, his voice tight with worry. Henry sat there for a moment, then looked up at Sophia before his gaze finally landed on Atlas. With a loud bang, Henry stood up and slapped Atlas across the face with a fierce blow. Henry roared. "Who the hell leaked the insurance information from the variety show? Now the whole internet is attacking us, accusing us of trying to harm Odalis." 3/19/11 Mon, January 6, Chapter 53. 66% This has gone viral, and now the Bennett Group is being blacklisted in the industry. Not only are celebrities losing their jobs, but all our partnerships are ruined. "Even the police are keeping an eye on us," Henry shouted, clearly at his breaking point. UST a few days ago, the Bennett Group had been thriving. No one could have predicted that within such a short span of time, they would be on the brink of collapse. "What? How is that possible?" Hannah exclaimed, sitting up in shock. The sudden movement caused her injury to flare up, and she winced in pain, but her fear was obvious as she looked at Henry and asked, "Huri, don't they know about the relationship between the Bennett family and the Stewart family?" "Right, we need to go to the Stewart family. Odalis married into the Stewart family. As long as the Stewart family backs the Bennett Group, we..." Hannah murmured, her voice full of desperation. At that moment, it seemed like Hannah had found a lifeline. Atlas was stunned by the slap. Holding his face, he looked coldly at Henry and spat on the floor. "Go to the Stewart family. Odalis was forced to marry into that family by us, and when she left, she signed an agreement severing ties. It was Henry who pressured her into going on the variety show. Now, after all this chaos, do you think she will stand up for us?" Atlas said in a cold voice. His words sank the room into an eerie silence. Everyone felt a heavy weight hanging in the air, and Sophia was alive with frustration. "Everything I fought so hard to earn, does it really mean nothing now?" Sophia thought bitterly, "I called the Stewart family. They just hung up on me as soon as they heard it was the Bennett Group. They didn't even give me a chance to speak," Henry muttered quietly. Hannah froze, and a chill spread through her heart. She had called before, and she had been hung up on too. At that moment, she felt as if all hope was slipping away. Hannah quickly pulled out her phone to text Odalis, only to discover that she had been blocked. "This bitch actually blocked me," Hannah whispered under her breath. "Regardless, she's still part of the Bennett family, even if she severed ties with us," Hannah said through gritted teeth. "Henry, we need to go to the Stewart villa," Caspian said, his eyes flashing with a cold edge. He grabbed the car keys and turned to leave the room. Before Henry could respond, Caspian had already exited the room. Odalis hailed a cab and returned to the Stewart villa. As she stepped out of the car and began walking toward the door, one of the servants respectfully greeted her. "Mrs. Stewart, you're back." Odalis wasn't quite used to being called by that title, but she merely nodded in response. Inside the Stewart villa, the butler, Dorian, heard the car pull up and quickly rushed out to meet her. MRS. Stewart, you're back. Let me carry that for you, Dorian Saul, his eyes lighting up when he saw her. He hurried to take the bag from her hands. Dorian had watched the live streaming of the variety show, and his impression of Odalise had been completely transformed. He never expected her to be so capable. Not only could she hunt wild boars, but she could also kill venomous snakes with her bare hands and even jump off a cliff. Previously, Percival had been on the brink of death, his body nearly rotting, vomiting blood uncontrollably. But in the past 3 days, the poison hadn't taken effect, and as Odalise had predicted, Percival's condition remained stable. When the news reached the Stewart mansion, Clarence had been so excited he nearly tripped and broke a bone, otherwise he would have flown over immediately. Where is he? Odalise asked as she looked up toward the upstairs. Upon hearing her inquire about Percival, Dorian's eyes were filled with satisfaction. Dorian had always felt that Odalise carried the same aura as Percival. Both of them were decisive and no nonsense. Mr. Stewart is out handling some matters. I can call him for you, Dorian said, carrying her luggage upstairs with respect. Odalise nodded and entered the room. Inside the bedroom, everything was spotless. It was clear they had been keeping it clean after she left. She placed her backpack down and took out the two snake gallbladders, which were wrapped in paper charms. Send me the other medicinal ingredients, Odalise said softly. Dorian, seeing the snake gallbladders in the bottle from the live stream, couldn't contain his excitement and began rubbing his hands together. Yes. I'll go get them right now, he eagerly replied. Chapter 54. Odalise couldn't help but smile as she watched Dorian's eyes light up with excitement. His energy was almost contagious, but she shook her head, amused, and quietly gathered her clothes. A quick shower would help clear her thoughts. When she came out, she saw the medicinal herbs neatly arranged on the coffee table next to a plate of desserts and some fresh fruit slices. The coffee maker nearby was quietly brewing, and the warm, inviting aroma filled the entire room. Mrs. Stewart, I made you some coffee. I hope it's to your liking, Dorian said respectfully, standing by. Odalise noticed how carefully Dorian had taken care of everything. She gave him a long, thoughtful look, her expression hard to read. What's wrong? Mrs. Stewart? Dorian asked nervously, fidgeting under her gaze. As Odalise plugged in his phone, he looked up and said, by the way, you have kidney stones. What? Dorian was taken aback, clearly shocked. He looked at Odalise in disbelief. She took a sip of water and quietly said, I'll prescribe some medicine for you tonight. If you take it for a few days, the stone should pass all right, Dorian said, wiping the cold sweat from his forehead. Dorian had always been in good health. He went for routine checkups every year, and nothing unusual had ever come up. Yet, something about Odalise's words lingered in his mind, stirring a vague unease he couldn't shake. On his way out, he found himself pacing anxiously before finally hailing a cab and heading straight to the hospital for a GT scan, desperate for answers. Meanwhile, Odalise settled into her room, drying her freshly washed hair. She glanced down at her phone when a call came through. It was from her assistant. As soon as she answered, the assistant's angry voice came through. Odalise, you need to come to the office right now. Odalise couldn't help but curl her lips into a cold smile at the assistant's rude tone. I'm not coming, Odalise replied coolly. Odalise hadn't paid much attention to the assistant before, but now she couldn't believe the nerve. Does she really think she could boss me around? She wondered. That assistant, always siding with someone. She knows perfectly well the Bennets don't like me, and yet she's out here making my life miserable on purpose. Just because she's been in the industry for a bit, she thinks she's better than the rest of us? Who does she think she is? Ridiculous, Odalise thought, rolling her eyes internally. Your contract still has time left. If you want to stay relevant in the entertainment industry, I strongly suggest you renew it immediately. Otherwise, let's just say things might not go in your favor. The assistant's voice took on a steely edge. Snacking on a piece of fruit, Odalie smirked. Stop trying to trap me. Tell Henry the Bennett Group is doomed, it's just a matter of time. He'd better quit wasting his time trying to control me. I'm done with the Bennett family. If he keeps pushing, I won't hold back from making things harder for him, Odalie sneered. She leaned back, her tone icy, her gaze hardening as her lips curled into a cold smile. As soon as Odalise finished speaking, the phone was snatched away from the assistant by Henry. His voice came through, furious. Is this what you wanted? Is this your idea of satisfaction? 19.11 Mon, January 6th. Chapter 31. Did you have something to do with your mother's leg being broken? Is this your curse? Henry demanded coldly. When Odalise heard that Hannah's leg had been broken, she couldn't help but laugh, her mood lifted. Your mom's leg broke. Well, that's good for you. Congratulations. Henry was so furious he nearly spat blood. He had never expected Odalise to be so unyielding. Odalise, if you want us to forgive you, you better get the Stewart family to fix everything. Otherwise, if the Bennett family goes bankrupt, you can forget about ever returning to them. Henry warned her, his voice sharp. Odalise tucked the phone under her shoulder and stood up, walking toward the door. That sounds great. I hope it comes, Odalise. Henry screamed in rage. Before he could say anything else, Odalise immediately hung up the phone, blocking the assistant's number. After finishing everything, Odalise stretched lazily. Hannah's luck had always been poor. But during the past 6 months, things had been going smoothly, thanks to the emerald pendant Odalise had given her to ward off bad luck. Without the protection of the emerald pendant, Hannah's bad luck would only increase. This was just the beginning. As Odalise thought this, a chill flickered in her sights. She lowered her head, picked up the medicinal herbs, and walked over to the bay window. She sat down and carefully ground the herbs into powder, her long hair falling around her shoulders. The air was filled with the scent of the herbs, carried in by the gentle breeze from outside. The aroma was surprisingly pleasant. Time ticked by, and just as Odalise continued her work, she heard the sound of heavy footsteps behind her. A figure stood beside her, blocking the light. Odalise frowned in irritation. Looking up, she saw Percival standing in front of her, holding a lunchbox in one large hand, his gaze briefly flicking over her. I heard from Dorian that you didn't have dinner, so I grabbed something for you on my way back. Percival's deep voice resonated. Odalise was slightly surprised as she watched him place the lunchbox on the coffee table. Percival calmly opened the lunchbox, revealing four dishes and half a serving of pasta. Come eat, Percival said as he set the lunchbox down, taking a fork and placing it on the plate before turning G to her. Odalise had planned to wait a little longer, but her stomach betrayed her with a loud growl. She subconsciously glanced out the window and saw that it was already dark outside. Did UME really fly by this fast? Odalise glanced at the herbs she had been sorting all afternoon, a flicker of surprise crossing her mind. I must have missed Dorian coming in to call me for dinner. He probably turned on the lights for me, too. She rubbed her temples briefly before washing her hands and walking over to the table. Thank you, Odalise said as she took the fork he handed her and speared a small lamb chop. The taste surprised her. It was far better than most restaurants. Grandfather knows you've been on the variety show. He's been watching your live streams. He wanted to visit you this afternoon, but he fell while rushing here and broke his leg. He's resting at the Stewart mansion now. Percival's rich voice continued. Odalise froze, unable to believe it. She looked up at Percival in disbelief. Percival reached into his briefcase, pulled out a small box, and pushed it toward her grandfather sent you a Galman, J.A. Chapter 51 66% He opened the box to reveal a set of 5 jewelry pieces, a bracelet, a bangle, earrings, an anklet, and a necklace. The rubies gleamed under the light, casting a captivating glow. Odalie stared at them, momentarily lost for words. She hastily took another bite of her food and then lowered her voice. Why is your grandfather giving me these? Aren't we just in a contract marriage? As soon as she finished speaking, Percival leaned back slightly, tapping his long fingers on the armrest of the couch. Asso, his eyes, deep and intense, met hers as he spoke in a low voice. Whatever the reason we married, once you become part of the Stewart family, to everyone, you're my wife. Since grandfather gave you a gift, you should accept it? Odalys listened quietly as she continued to eat. All right, Odalys said, not wanting to argue further. She placed the box to the side and then seemed to remember something. Taking another bite of lamb, she glanced at him, her voice muddled. Oh, well, you can take your clothes off now, Odalys said with a glint in her eyes. Chapter 55. Percival was dressed in a black shirt and well-tailored trousers, exuding a powerful aura, arrogant, calm, and restrained, making it difficult for anyone to meet his gaze. Huh. Percival froze. His long fingers rested on the armrest of the sofa, his fingertips stiffened as he furrowed his brows and looked at her in confusion, clearly thinking he had misheard. A scene from their first meeting flashed unexpectedly in his mind, how she had marched up to him without a word, grabbed his shirt, and torn it apart with force. Percival's Adam's apple moved, his handsome face as cold as ice, yet for some reason, the area around his cars flushed with a subtle red. All right, Percival's voice grew hoarse. He straightened his back, his fingers gently unbuttoning his shirt with deliberate, controlled motions, revealing his muscular chest and the perfect lines that traced his muscles. Odalys took a bite of lamb chop, her hand supporting her cheek, casually watching him undress. When all the buttons were undone, Percival's perfect abs were now fully exposed, and he stood up, removing his shirt and turning his back to her. Odalys quickly stood up, walking toward him, and placed her hand on his back. Over the last couple of days, have you been feeling like your chest is burning, like you're about to spit up blood but then it seems to suppress itself? Happening over and over? Odalys asked in a low voice. Her hand rested against Percival's back, and she felt his body tense up, his skin burning with heat. Yes, that's exactly how it's been. Percival's voice was hoarse, barely above a whisper. An inexplicable emotion surged in Percival's chest, a tingling sensation that felt like his nerves might snap. It was an odd, numb feeling, like ants lightly biting him, not painful but still hitting him with a heavy force. Good thing I came home today. If I hadn't returned today, you probably would have collapsed tonight. The poison in your body is more aggressive than I thought, Odalys said quietly. She circled behind him, then moved to face Percival. Odalys looked down and gently tugged at the waistband of his pants, then traced her finger along his perfect V-shape. She began. Your body has been under continuous poison attacks, which has gradually lowered your resistance. Your skin has healed, but every time it regenerates, it breaks down again. The skin and blood have already mixed together, the poison has spread across your skin. Your V-line and your abs look perfect, but actually, when the illness flares, areas are the most dangerous, Odalys continued softly. Those Percival stood frozen, staring at her fingers as they traced his V-line, her other hand still gripping the waistband of his pants. The atmosphere in the room became charged with tension, and Percival's body temperature rose as if he were about to melt. Don't work out for now, and avoid intense exercise. For most people, having abs is a sign of good health, but for you, it's actually not friendly, Odalys murmured. She took half a step back, noticing Percival's broad shoulders and narrow waist. She bit her lip and couldn't help but glance at him a few more times. Odalise had met many people, but Percival's physique was the most perfect she had ever seen. Standing at 6.2 feet tall with a well-balanced weight, perfect abs, and a defined V-line, he radiated a natural aura, like a beloved child of God, so perfect it was almost maddening. "Am I going to have a flare-up?" Percival asked, his voice still hoarse. His abs tightened, and to cover up the surge of 1911 Mon, Jan Chapter 35 emotions he had just felt, he slowly turned around, facing away from her. 66% Odalise turned and walked back to the sofa, sitting down and picking up her plate to continue eating. She spoke casually. "Yes, you'll go take a shower in a little while, and wait for me tonight." Her words were laced with ambiguity, making anyone who overheard blush. But Odalise was completely unfazed. After all, she was a medical professional, and even if men and women were completely undressed in front of her, it was nothing out of the ordinary. "What time tonight?" Percival's Adam's apple bobbed. Percival turned to look at Odalise, who was focused on her meal, her eaves clear and without a hint of distraction, clearly uninterested in his body. If it weren't for that, Percival would have thought she was trying to seduce him or deliberately speaking ambiguously to get his attention. "The medicine's not done yet. It's 7 now. It'll be busy for a while longer, and I should be over to see you around 11, Odalise said softly. Percival gave a slight nod and reached for his shirt, putting it back on. She ate with great focus, clearly enjoying the meal. This was the first time Percival had seen a woman so calm, her aura so pure as if nothing in her world could faze her. Percival stepped forward and stood in front of her. After a long moment, he finally said in a hoarse voice, "The Bennett family is about to go under." At this, Odalise paused in her eating. A faint smile curled at the corners of her lips, her beautiful eyes gleaming with excitement. She then popped another piece of lamb chop into her mouth and said, "I know it's about time the Bennett family's luck ran out," Odalise added in a low voice. If it hadn't been for them bringing Odalise back 7 months ago, the Bennett family would have been in deep trouble by now. Hannah had enjoyed a few months of glory, everything going her way, but that was all thanks to the emerald pendant Odalise had given her. Without it, her leg would have been broken long ago. "Henry's been trying to reach me privately lately, and the Benny Villa has been calling. They probably want to use your marriage to me as leverage to get the Stewart family to help them," Percival said softly. Percival had no goodwill toward the Bennett family. Having been in business for years, Percival could easily see through their intentions. The Bennett family wasn't exactly clean this time, they were pushing Odalise into marriage, pretending to offer her a chance to marry into a wealthy family, when in fact, they were trying to push her into a dangerous situation. Everyone knew that Percival wouldn't survive more than a month, which was why many businesses were getting ready to take advantage of his illness, slowly dividing up and swallowing the Stewart family. But the Stewart family was financially powerful and had influence worldwide, not just in business, but also in government and political circles. While others couldn't swallow them whole, they were still attempting to band together and fight for a piece of the pie. That was the harsh reality. Percival had initially planned to arrange everything for the Stewart family before his death. He never expected Odalise's arrival to give him a glimmer of hope. At first, Percival hadn't trusted what Odalise said, but after she applied acupuncture on him, the signs were clear. He hadn't experienced another flare-up of poisoning in 3 days, and he hadn't coughed up blood. "Does this mean that what Odalise said is true? I'm not going to die yet?" Percival thought, his gaze complex as he looked at her. "Mon, Chapter 55, what do you think?" Odalise asked, curious. D to the Percival turned and walked to the side, picking up her water cup and pouring a glass of warm water. He brought it to her, saying, "Of course, I refuse. The Stewart family doesn't owe the Bennett Group anything. William did have a relationship with my grandfather, and the Bennett family's current size is thanks to my grandfather providing them with resources behind the scenes. This time, To protect Sophia by not sending her over to marry me, the Bennett family went to great lengths and even hurried up to find you within half a month. You're nothing but a statue in the Bennett family has put forward. Since the Bennett family is heartless, the Stewart family won't care about their end. As for you and the Bennett family, you're far more important to me. Chapter 56. Odalise accepted the glass of water he handed her and took a small sip, her gaze flickering in Percival with a hint of surprise. She hadn't expected someone as calculating and sharp as him to be so blunt. It caught her off guard. He explained, "The Bennett Domuli. They sent you here expecting you to die. They thought I was already gone, and you'd be buried fight along with me. As for the variety show, everything that happened there made it clear Atlas and Sophie were out for blood. They weren't just messing around, they were gunning for you. That high accident insurance has looked like a setup from the very beginning. I don't know if you've realized it yet, but if you truly care about the Bennett family, I'm willing to offer them a way out because of you. If you choose to part ways with the Bennett family, the Stewart family will support you," Percival said softly. Odalis' smile deepened as she heard this, her eyes glowing with happiness. From the moment she married him, she had felt a spark like a thunderbolt striking her the first time she laid eyes on Percival. What she was seeing stunned her. Odalis had always prided herself on her ability to read people, predicting their ups and downs with ease. But Percival? He was the only one who ever defied her instincts, a puzzle she couldn't solve. He was shrouded in an air of mystery, making him seem distant and untouchable. Despite her gift of divination, she couldn't pierce through the enigmatic veil that surrounded him. When Odalis stepped closer, the thick, suffocating aura of poison around him struck her, and she knew immediately he was dying. But apart from that dreadful realization, she could glean nothing more. She smiled. "All right, let's not bother about them. If the Bennett family wants my life, it's up to me to decide. Once the contract ends, I'll have nothing to do with them anymore. After all, we signed a prenup before we got married that made this clear. Now that the Bennett family is in deep trouble, they're running to you, hoping to blackmail me. But honestly, they've got no chance. I'm not exactly known for my morals," Odalis said. She stood up, stretching lazily with a smirk. After eating and drinking, she felt much more refreshed. "Got it?" Percival said, somewhat surprised as he looked at Odalis. He realized that Odalis was not only open-minded but also quite carefree, unlike others who hesitated and struggled. Her decisiveness and straightforwardness were unique. Odalis stepped over to the floor-to-ceiling window and stood there, gazing at the night outside. When she turned around, she saw Percival rolling up his shirt sleeves, exposing part of his arm. He bent down by the coffee table, cleaning up the Jeftover dishes. Odalis' lips parted as if she wanted to say something, but then she saw that he had already finished tidying up. Without pausing, Percival grabbed the trash and walked toward the door, carefully closing it behind him. Odalis watched his figure disappear out of sight, then turned to wash her hands. She was about to get back to preparing the herbs. She needed to make some pills for him tonight. Otherwise, Percival wouldn't survive the night. Percival, looking as lively as ever, seemed a world away from the man who might die tonight. This was the nature of poison, insidious and cruel. It attacked the body, and just when the person thought they were fine, it would strike the fatal blow. By the time he would die, he would feel some regret, yet be powerless to stop it. At that moment, Odalis' phone vibrated. Her hand, which had been picking herbs, paused. She stood up and walked over. He brought it to her. Percival turned and walked to the side, picking up her water cup and pouring a glass of warm water. Saying, "Of course, I refuse. The Stewart family doesn't owe the Bennett Group anything. William did have a relationship with my grandfather, and the Bennett family's current size is thanks to my grandfather providing them with resources behind the scenes. This time, to protect Sophia by not sending her over to marry me, the Bennett family went to great lengths and even hurried up to find you within half a mouth. You're nothing but a stand-in, the Bennett family has put forward. Since the Bennett family is heartless, the Stewart family won't care about their end. As for you and the Bennett family, you're far more important to me. Percival added in a low voice. Chapter 57. Freya adored her brother. At that moment, she didn't seem like the arrogant star people talked about online. I'm still busy. Let's plan to grab dinner when I have some free time, Odalis said softly. Hearing that Odalis was occupied, Freya didn't press her any further. All right, just send me a WhatsApp when you're done. Bye. Once the call ended, Odalis immediately began working with the herbs. She grabbed a bottle nearby, tore off the paper charm, and miced the herbs with snake gall. When she saw the powdered herbs enveloping the snake gall, she stood up and took a small container of magic dust. Drawing a circle in the air, she quickly wrote a series of characters, then whispered, "Rise." The bottle containing the poison and the herbs floated into the air, the paper charm igniting it into a blazing fire that continued to burn. A pungent medicinal scent filled the air, and half an hour later, the bottle dropped to the ground. Odalis swiftly caught it as it fell. Looking at the pill made from the paper charm, she turned and walked toward the door. "Hi. Mrs. Stewart." Dorian nervously stood outside, waiting for her to exit. As soon as he saw her, he hurried over and softly asked, "Is there anything I can help with?" Odalis glanced at Dorian, noting his eager expression. "Did you get your CT scan?" she asked, her lips curling into a half smile. Dorian, slightly embarrassed, scratched his head. He quickly pulled out the CT scan and handed it to her, speaking excitedly. "Mrs. Stewart, you were right. I went for the CT scan, and it turns out I have kidney stones. The doctor said they're small stones, scattered everywhere. It's probably hard to treat, and they're worried that after using lasers, they'll just come back." Dorian swallowed hard. He felt panicked. When he received the CT results, he had been completely dazed. If Odalis hadn't reminded him to get it checked, the small stones in his kidneys would have grown over me, eventually pressing down on his kidneys. If left untreated for too long, it could have become life-threatening. "It's okay. I'll prescribe some medication tomorrow. After a few days, the stones should pass," Odalis said softly. Dorian was taken aback, looking at her in disbelief. "Really? Thank you so much, Mrs. Stewart." Dorian's eyes welled up with emotion. After hearing the doctor's words and realizing how much pain he would endure, especially at his age, Dorian nearly broke down. Kidney stones and gallstones were tough to handle. With good luck, a single laser treatment could do the job, but with bad luck, it might require several treatments, damaging the body over time. "Come see me tomorrow at noon," Odalis said, cutting through his thoughts. She turned toward Percival's room and knocked on the door. The door opened in response. Odalis stepped inside, noticing that the door was only halfway open. Clearly, Percival had left it that way for her. "Percival," Odalis called Sophily. She could vaguely hear muffled groans coming from the calm, low, strained sounds as if he were trying to suppress some emotion. The noises grew clearer as she approached. Odalis pushed open the door to see Percival standing at the sink, his arms braced against the edges of the basin. The veins on his arms were bulging. It was obvious that he was fighting against intense pain. Overpower, but the pain in his body surged like a tidal wave, gnawing at every nerve inside him, roaring to break free and him. Veins popped up on his skin, growing larger as though they might tear through his skin. Eventually, a blood vessel burst. A stream of blood rushed from his throat, splattering onto the mirror in front of him. The bright red blood slid down the mirror, dripping onto Percival's large, broad hand, contrasting sharply with his skin. The sight was eye-catching and unsettling. Percival raised his eyes, staring at the mirror where Odalis's reflection was visible. He quickly turned his head to look at the door. He hadn't noticed when Odalis had entered, but she was now standing beside him. Percival hastily raised his hand to wipe the blood from the corner of his mouth, suppressing the agony in his body. His eyes narrowed slightly, but his voice softened remarkably. "Why did you get here?" Percival asked in a low, raspy voice. Odalis had said 11 o'clock, and it was still only 10, a full hour ahead of the time she had mentioned. Odalis frowned slightly, reached out, and grabbed his arm, turning his large body toward her. She could see the poison moving under his skin, already starting to spread within his body. The poison has already taken effect. "Why didn't you come find me?" Odalis's voice carried a hint of surprise. She could hardly believe that someone could be so powerful, even with the poison spreading within them, and still maintain their composure, standing calmly in front of her. If it were anyone else, they would likely be writhing in pain by now, possibly even losing their sanity and harming themselves. But Percival had not. Having practiced medicine for years, this was the most enduring person Odalis had ever seen. "There was no one else like him," you said 11 o'clock. "I didn't want to disturb you," Percival replied in a hoarse voice. As he spoke, another gush of blood surged from his throat. He tried to hold it back, but a trickle of blood leaked from the corner of his mouth. Dorian, who had been standing behind, was horrified and felt his legs go weak. "Mr. Stewart." Dorian rushed forward, alarmed. Though Dorian had seen Percival on the brink of death multiple times, the sight still made his heart ache painfully. Percival was the one Dorian had raised. To Dorian, Percival was like a child he had cared for, even though they weren't related by blood. He had taken Percival as his Dorian. "Turn on the water," Odalis said quietly. Dorian stood frozen for a moment, a bit stunned, before finally reacting. He rushed forward, turned on the faucet, and water started pouring into the bathtub. Odalis quickly took the pill she had prepared and placed it in Percival's mouth. The bitter taste spread throughout Percival's mouth, and he frowned slightly but swallowed it down. As soon as the pill went down, Odalis placed a hand on his chest and gave it a firm slap. Piffy. Percival felt his chest churn, and another stream of blood burst from his mouth. Odalis held him up and pushed him into the bathtub. His large body fell into the water with a splash, and water splashed up, soaking her nightgown halfway. Percival lay there as she pressed him down, her fingers gliding across his arm, then pressing firmly on the side of his neck. Slitting open the vein. Fresh blood started to pour out, and Dorian watched in shock, unable to believe what he was seeing. He had never expected Odalis to allow Percival's blood to flow like this. "If you trust me, then you should leave now," Odalis said, clearly sensing Dorian's hesitation. Dorian clenched his fists tightly. After a few seconds, he quickly turned and walked toward the door. Just as he was about to close it, he glanced back and saw the bathtub filled with blood, turning red. Dorian's eyes were red with tears that were threatening to spill. He stood frozen outside the door, not daring to move a step, as the metallic smell of blood filled the air. "Mr. Stewart, you have to be all right. God, please, please keep Mr. Chapter 58. Dorian didn't notice the sudden, thunderous crash outside the window, followed by a bolt of golden lightning that shattered the glass and surged into the room. Odalis noticed Percival's brow furrow in concentration. She quickly drew a talisman and tossed it into the bathtub, directing the lightning from the sky into it. Percival's tall form was soon enveloped in a bloody haze. As the talisman hit the water, it splashed up, and a mist filled the bathroom, wrapping both him and her in its ethereal tendrils. Odalis stood there, her hands behind her back, watching Percival through the mist. His skin, once marked by swollen veins, was now forcefully subdued by the golden light from the lightning and the paper charm. Outside, a tall figure rushed in. Seeing the lightning crack through the window, Orson pushed open the door and entered, stunned by the sight before him. "Holy crap!" Orson muttered in disbelief. The scene was so surreal that Orson thought he might be seeing things. Blood oozed from the side of Percival's neck, but as it spilled, it turned a dark, almost black-red color. Orson stood behind Odalise, watching as she tossed another paper charm, pressing it onto Percival's neck. The charm melded with his body, and the wound on his neck healed as though it had never been there. Orson's lips moved, but no sound came out. He stood frozen as if struck by lightning, completely dumbfounded. He then watched as Odalise leaned forward. Her clothes were soaked through, and she placed her hands on either side of Percival, gazing down at him. "Thank you," Percival's hoarse voice whispered in her ear. Percival's warm breath brushed her face, and Odalise looked up, meeting his deep eyes. She noticed the color returning to his once pale face. "I just forced the poison out of your system. I released some of it so the toxins in your body should be reduced now, lowering the chances of another outbreak. That pill I gave you only suppresses it for half a month," Odalise murmured softly. She slowly stood up, but Percival's hand shot out, gripping her wrist. His fingers were cool to the touch, sending a shiver through her as the icy sensation ran through her body. Percival slowly rose, his wet bathrobe clinging to his toned chest. Bright red water droplets dripped steadily from his body, falling into his robe. "Why are you holding my hand?" Odalise frowned, looking down at Percival's large hand still gripping her wrist. She asked, a little irritated. Percival met her gaze and slowly released her wrist. His voice was still rough. "Do you sell your talismans?" "No," Odalise immediately refused. She didn't spare him another glance as she turned and walked toward the door. Dorian and Orson, who had witnessed everything, stood outside the door, watching her leave with confident strides. Dorian thought for a moment before quickly following after her. "Mrs. Stewart, are you hungry? Would you like some late-night snacks?" Dorian asked eagerly. If he hadn't witnessed it firsthand, Dorian wouldn't have believed how powerful a person could be, summoning lightning with a talisman and forcing blood out of Percival. The most unbelievable part was that the wound Odalise had made healed as soon as the talisman was applied. "No, thanks," Odalise replied, turning to head back to her room. That night, Odalise drew several talismans in succession. Her energy was starting to fade, and she quickly collapsed onto her bed, closing her eyes. She grabbed some chocolate from the side and popped it into her mouth. Meanwhile, in the bathroom, Percival slowly stepped out of the bathtub. He glanced at the dark red water, and after a moment of silence, he spoke hoarsely. "Did you see everything?" "Yes," Orson replied, his face filled with excitement. This was Orson's first time witnessing such a miraculous healing. "Let me see your wound," Orson said, tilting his head to inspect Percival's neck. He found that the wound had completely healed as if it had never been there at all. Orson couldn't help but reach out and touch Percival's injury, asking, "Does it hurt?" Percival ignored him and simply ushered him out. After a quick shower, he changed into a fresh bathrobe and tied it around his waist, then walked toward the door. Orson, having inspected Percival's condition, noticed the furrowed brows on his face slowly case. He said, "It really has improved a lot. Before, your body was nearly falling apart. After she did that acupuncture on you, the poison was suppressed. Now, after she bled you out, your pulse has gotten much stronger. She really cleared out a lot of the poison. With her method, you probably have a good chance of surviving." "But what medicine did she use?" Orson asked, his curiosity piqued. Percival handed over the list of items she had requested, and Orson took it, scratching his head. "This doesn't make sense. These are all medicinal herbs, but there's no mention of a catalyst. What kind of catalyst did she use to draw out the poison?" Orson muttered. he was a medical fanatic. Faced with this question, Lai became much more excited. I don't know. She didn't ask me for anything, and fro in the moment she got off the boat until we got home, she didn't buy anything. Percival replied in a low voice. Orson slumped onto the couch, rubbing his chin with his fingers. If she didn't buy anything, then she must have found it on the island. I'm going back to review her variety show. Orson said, standing quickly and heading for the door. Not long after, the sound of a car engine starting echoed from downstairs. Percival remained in the room, walking over to the floor-to-ceiling window. He stood with his hands behind his back, gazing out at the night. At that moment, Percival felt much lighter. The fatigue that had plagued him earlier had faded. Normally, after bloodletting, a person would feel drained and weak, but he felt the opposite. What kind of medicine did she give me? Percival murmured in a hoarse voice. Before he could say more, there was a knock at the door. Callum entered, holding an iPad. His expression was serious as he stood and quietly greeted, "Hello, Mr. Stewart, how is it?" Percival asked in a low voice. Callum stood respectfully behind him and answered in a hushed tone. "We've gathered evidence. The Bennett family set up a trap for Mrs. Stewart, intending to control her fate. Since she signed with the Bennett Group, their goal has been to squeeze everything they can from her. For some reason, the Bennett family is obsessively fixated on Sophia. It's as if they'll stop at nothing to keep her close. Soft wants to take everything that should belong to Mrs. Stewart. The Bennett family members have been doing everything in their power to help her." Callum's eyes darkened as he spoke. It was hard to comprehend why the Bennett family would be so ruthless toward their own flesh and blood. Look into Sophia's past. Find out where she came from and why the Bennett family adopted her. Also, investigate everyone in the Stewart Villa and see if anyone has ties to the Bennett family, Percival said coldly. Callum was taken aback and immediately became cautious. Are you suggesting that there's a spy within the Stewart family? Percival began. Why did the Bennett family suddenly bring Odalis back 6 months ago? What were they really after? They've kept her around, but it doesn't seem like they want her to be the true heiress of the family. The only possible explanation is that they realized that when someone in a prominent family falls ill, they'll seek out ways to resolve the problem. The Bennett family and the Stewart family had a verbal agreement to form a marriage alliance. Chapter 59. Percival calmly analyzed the entire situation. Callum was somewhat taken aback, following Percival's train of thought. Someone must have leaked your condition, knowing you were seriously ill. The Bennett family is afraid of offending the Stewart family. If the Stewart family asks for a marriage proposal, the Bennett family wouldn't dare refuse. To prevent this from happening, they brought Mrs. Stewart back as a backup. Percival gave a slight nod, a flicker of coldness passing across his eyes. Ordinary servants can't know the true extent of my illness. Only those close to me. Don't act hastily, investigate Sakrilai and find out who's behind this, Percival said coldly. Understood. Callum's heart jolted. Gripping the iPad tightly, Callum turned and strode out of the room. Percival stood alone for a moment, then walked into the bathroom. He noticed a small hole in the window glass, the faint smell of something scorched lingering in the air. In the corner, there was a speck of ash. He reached out to touch it, rubbing it between his fingers. It was the paper charm. Hi. Mr. Stewart. Dorian approached him quickly. Percival turned to face him, noticing Dorian's hesitance. He quietly asked, "What happened?" Mrs. Stewart mentioned that I might have kidney stones. Dorian began, pulling out a CT scan. I went to the hospital for a checkup, and luckily, it was caught early. Otherwise, at my age, might not have been able to handle repeated laser surgeries. Percival's eyes darkened, disbelief in his voice. She figured that out just by looking at you. Yes, Dorian replied. Dorian quickly took out his phone, opened a saved video, and whispered, I watched MRS. Stewart's live stream. There's some online controversy, but when she did divination for Sela, it came true that night. Also, when the wind picked up and seawater started to flood in, she placed a talisman on the cave entrance to stop the water from coming in. And just now, when she was treating you, I saw Burr use a paper charm to summon lightning. Mr. Stewart, I think Mrs. Stewart may be much more than just healer, she seems to have hidden talents, Dorian said softly. Percival thoughtfully glanced at the CT scan in his hand, pausing for a long moment before saying. Tonight's events must not be shared with anyone else, aside from the few of us understood. Dorian quickly nodded. People can be very talkative, and while not everyone may believe the abilities she demonstrated on the variety show, if someone with ill intentions notices, her situation could become dangerous. The Bennett family won't let her off easily, Percival said in a deep voice. Dorian was stunned, finally realizing just how carefully Percival was considering the situation. Yes, I won't tell anyone, Dorian said, feeling a heavy weight in his chest. Donan hadn't thought about the potential danger to Odalise. He was simply impressed by her abilities and wanted to report the situation, but hadn't considered her safety. Percival didn't say any more, stepping toward the door as Dorian stepped back. Outside the bedroom, there was an eerie silence. Percival sat on the sofa, contemplating for a while. Then, he picked up his phone, walked outside, and stood in front of Odalis' door. After a long pause, he knocked. Who is it? Odalis asked, lying on the bed, absent-mindedly, and she hadn't played with her phone. Her thoughts were 19.11 Mon, January 6th BG. Chapter 59 interrupted as she quickly got up and walked to the door. When she opened it, she was surprised to see Percival standing outside. Mr. Stewart. Did you need something? 66 if it's convenient, would you mind adding me on WhatsApp and exchanging numbers? That way, if you need to reach me in the future, you can do so directly, Percival said in a low voice. Odalise hadn't expected this, thinking about the deal she had with him. She turned back into the room, grabbed her phone, added Percival on WhatsApp, and exchanged numbers with Hi, here you go, Percival said softly. Percival handed her something, and Odalise, puzzled, reached out to take it. When Odalise saw it was a car key, she looked at him in confusion. It's not very convenient to take a taxi around here. I've arranged for a car for you. If the driver isn't ground, you can drive it yourself, Percival said in a low voice. As if worried she might misunderstand, he added, it's just a BMW 5 Series, very key. Odalise was a little surprised. She held up the car keys and smiled. Well, thank you. Get some rest. Good night, Percival said, preparing to turn and return to his room. Lo, just as he turned, she called out softly, Percival. Percival stopped, glanced back at her with a look of confusion, but didn't speak. She continued. If you want to figure out who poisoned you, you should start with your closest relatives. This kind of poison is too potent. It lingers in your blood. The only possibility is that they used a family member's blood as a base for the poison. I suspect your family has been investigating for years, but they've never figured out who did it. You could try to remember who you were in contact with at midnight on a particular night. Maybe that will help you figure out who did this, Odalise quietly advised. Her words shocked Percival once again. The poison in his body had inexplicably flared up years ago, causing his body to rot and leading to confusion. No one had realized it was poisoning at the time. It wasn't until much later, when the illness didn't improve, that they discovered the poison still lingered in his blood, and only then did they understand that his condition was the result of poisoning. It was difficult for Odalis to trace back through the events. Thank you, Percival said, his voice hoarse. His deep eyes studied her, his expression inscrutable. Odalis smiled and lightly tossed the car keys in her hand. No need to thank me. Just think of it as a thank you gift for the car, though a BMW 5 Series is still pretty flashy for an ordinary person. She retreated into her room, casually closing the door behind her. Percival stood outside, staring at the door for a moment. Her words about the poison, connected to a family member's blood, weighed heavily on his mind, making him clench his fists with a deep, troubled thought. That night, Odalis slept particularly well. When Odalis woke up, it was already midday. She stretched lazily, glancing at the blinding sunlight outside the window. Reaching for her phone, she turned it on and was immediately hit with a barrage of news notifications. Bennett Entertainment is on the brink of bankruptcy. Caspian was suspected of drug use and arrested after causing a scene late at night. Rumors claim Sophia was once a mistress. These headlines flooded her screen, and when Odalis opened the articles, she saw that the entire Bennett family was being dragged through the mud, with all sorts of accusations being thrown at them. Oh my God, she rubbed her temples, getting up and glancing over the news. Her eyes landed on another viral topic, requesting Odalis to open a Twitter account. Fans want to watch the goddess live stream divination. This trending topic had 200,000 comments. All of them were requests for her to start an account, wanting to connect with her, and many were eager for more divination sessions. Some even wanted to purchase the water-blocking talismans she had drawn on the island. Odalis glanced at it briefly, then got out of bed, changed into a pair of high-waisted jeans, paired with a short white t-shirt, and tied her long hair into a ponytail. After washing up, she got up and walked outside. As soon as Odalis reached the stairs, Dorian came to greet her. Mrs. Stewart, what would you like for lunch? He asked respectfully, his eyes gleaming as he looked at her. What do you have prepared for lunch? I'm not picky. Anything is fine, Odalis replied. Back when she was with her mentor, she had been happy with whatever was available to eat, and she didn't feel the need to choose. Teve prepared roast chicken, along with some other dishes. Here's the menu for you, Dorian said softly, handing it to her while observing her expression. Chapter 60. All right, let's go with this, Odalis said as she walked out. Hearing this, Dorian quickly headed to the kitchen. By the time he had prepared the meal, Odalis had returned, holding some herbs in her hands. She placed them in a basket beside him. Use 3 cups of water. Simmer it on low heat until it reduces to half a cup, then add this, Odalis explained, pulling out a small bottle and handing it to him. Dorian looked at the herbs Odalis had gathered and took the bottle she offered. His hands were trembling. You should drink it twice a day. After 3 days, the kidney stones will soften. Just drink plenty of water to flush them out. Then, go back to the hospital to check if they've been fully cleared. Odalis continued. Kidney stones might seem like a minor issue, but countless people had lost their lives to them. They were difficult to break down, and even after treatment, they often regrew quickly. It became a vicious cycle that ended up ruining lives. All right, I'll go prepare it right now. Dorian said, taking the herbs and quickly walking to the kitchen. Odalis sat down to eat. After finishing her meal, Dorian came out to clean up. She grabbed her car keys and headed toward the door. Dorian hurried to follow her, saying, Mrs. Stewart, the car's over there. The black one. Mrs. Stewart said it's low-key and has great security, I know, Odalis replied, walking toward the car. Once in the car, Odalis opened the tracking system that Finian had installed on her phone. The screen blinked briefly, confirming that Finian was monitoring her phone. Odalis hadn't deleted the tracking system earlier because she knew it would come in handy. Now, she planned to use it to draw Finian out. Finian's ambition was too great. He had always wanted the Lark family's approval. That was why, before Odalis' time travel, he had pushed Odalis into severe depression. Now, she was going to take away the one thing he valued most. Tinian, just wait. Odalis sneered quietly. Seeing the tracking system blink again, Odalis drove the car toward the outskirts of the city. Odalis parked the car near an abandoned construction site and got out. She made her way toward the building. As Odalis reached the second floor, she saw a car speeding toward the site. Standing on the balcony, she looked down and saw Finian rush out of the car. Finian was focused on his phone's screen, tracking her. He looked up and saw Odalis' figure, her back to him as she leaned against a wall. She appeared to be deep in thought. Odalis, this time, there's no way you're escaping me, Finian said through gritted teeth. Her cold attitude on the variety show had enraged him. If it weren't for the recording, he would have taught her a lesson long ago. After he was poisoned, Odalis didn't care. She didn't even check on him. If anything, she seemed to take pleasure in his misery. That had frustrated him even more. Thinking about it now, he stormed up the stairs to the second floor of the abandoned building. Sure enough, in the cluttered space, he saw Odalis. Finian rushed forward, intending to forcibly embrace her, but he froze when she suddenly looked up at him. The unexpected movement startled him. He stopped, watching as she swiftly turned and slapped him. Finian staggered back a step, feeling something hot touch his forehead. He reached up to touch it, and his fingers burned as if they had been scalded. You. Finian stammered, shocked. He pointed at Odalis, but she stepped forward, unbothered by his outburst. Odalis lifted her foot and kicked him hard. He groaned in pain, falling to the ground with a heavy thud. Does it feel good to install that tracker? Odalis asked coldly. Finian was terrified. His body swayed, but he felt as though he were somehow bound, unable to move. He tried to shift his body, but it wouldn't budge. At this moment Finian was stunned. Struggling, he yelled, Odalis, you'd better face reality and let me go, or don't blame me for not protecting you. You're being forced to marry a dying man by the Bennett family. When he dies, do you really think the Bennett family will still accept you? A woman who killed her husband? As soon as Finian finished speaking, an invisible force slapped him repeatedly. The pain made Finian grimace, and his phone was snatched away. He urgently cursed. You bitch, give me it back. Before he could finish, he saw Odalis holding his phone, dialing Selena's number. Finian broke into a cold sweat, terrified. He wanted to explain, but no words came out, his mouth felt as if it were blocked. Finian, what did you just say? Selena's sharp voice asked on the other end. Finian was about to explain, but his mouth betrayed him as he shouted. What do I mean? What could I mean, you bitch? Just because you're the lady of the Lark family now, do you think I can't deal with you? I'm going to bring you down. I'll stomp you under my feet, then hire some thugs to kill you. You've always looked down on me, haven't you? I'm a bastard, but so what? Once I'm done with you and your son, the Lark family will be mine. Finian's voice trembled with anger. Suddenly, there was a loud crash, and something shattered on the other end of the phone. Faintly, Finian could hear Percival's voice. Finian, how do you speak to your mother like that? Finian's father's voice came, cold and deep. It was clear the phone had been put on speaker, and Selena's furious curses could still be heard in the background. Finian continued, Pa, mother. If it weren't for you, you shameless bastard, having money, would my mom have ever been your mistress? If you don't hand the Lark family over to me, I'll kill you sooner or later. I'm going to make sure you both die without a trace. You'll pay the price for everything, and the Lark family will only belong to me. Finian's tears flowed as he spoke. Finian, so agitated, tried to bite his tongue to stop the words, but he couldn't. His mouth felt as if someone was controlling it, forcing him to speak vile things. Finian, get back here right now. If you don't kneel and apologize, from now on, I'll pretend I never had you as a son, the man said, his frustration barely contained. But Finian was still his youngest son, so he, trying to hold back his anger. You. Who do you think you are? When you die, I won't even kneel to you. Do you really think I want to be your son? What are you? Finian muttered under his breath. After Andrew spoke, he collapsed to the ground, his body seemingly paralyzed. Inside, Andrew's thoughts were frantic. It's over. My life is over, he wondered. Fine, very well. From now on, don't come back to the Lark family. I have no son like you, Andrew said, then ended the call. Finian glared at Odalise as if he wanted to tear her apart. Unhurriedly, Odalise pulled up another phone number and dialed. The call was quickly answered, and Hannah's weak voice came through. Who is this? Hannah's voice sounded faint. After the accident, Hannah's leg was broken, her face badly burned, and the wound on her forehead had been oozing pus. She had fallen while going to the bathroom, and now her face was scratched again. At that moment, she felt a deep sense of despair. It's me. Finian, he said. Finian stared at Odalise, unable to believe what was happening. He didn't know what she was planning, but deep inside, he had a bad feeling about it.